We begin with a statistic that no one would put on their college transcript.
But you know, we all know that many of our schools just aren't safe. We know the numbers. 1 in 5 of every one of those young women who's dropped off for that first day of school, before they finish school, will be assaulted in her college years.
Vice President Joe Biden speaking about a White House effort to combat sexual assault on college campuses across the country. In addition to that 1 in 5 stat for women, 6% of men reportedly experience some form of sexual assault, and 70% of gay and transgender students report sexual harassment of some kind. Is this the culture of college campuses nowadays, or is it a law enforcement responsibility solidly at the feet of college administrators?
Hi, my name is Chrissy Davis. I'm calling from Hercules, California. How about training staff and teachers how to take reports either anonymously or having them be like a safe person to go to?
We'd love to hear your story as well. From Tampa, one of you writes, universities will only play a role if pushed. Students should get the stats on the university's violence and or sex crimes and not go if they find the rates too high. Be responsible and remember that the university is selling something, and stopping their paycheck will get their attention. Reach out at thetakeaway.org. A lot of you are talking about this subject, but let's talk to a student now, Sophie Karasek. In your experience, has sexual assault been a tangible part of campus life for you at the University of California, Berkeley?
Unfortunately, yes. It's really come to define my experience here as a student at Berkeley. I was sexually assaulted as a first year at an off-campus event. And since my assault, I've connected with a lot of other students who have faced similar issues here at Cal. So unfortunately, it's been really common for me to hear, oh, that happened to me as well. And also to hear these stories of how the university has also mistreated them if they did try to come forward.
So what do you think the university's responsibility is here? And how would you rate the culture of tolerance at a place like UC Berkeley for sexual violence of any kind?
Unfortunately, it is quite common, and I think it's definitely the responsibility of Berkeley to keep its students safe. So often what you're having is students are coming forward to Berkeley and saying that they have been assaulted, and the university will say, okay, we'll look into that, but then nothing is really done. One of the main problems at Berkeley is that there isn't much of an investigative process at all. So you'll go and tell your story, but then nothing will come out of it. No one will contact you. There won't be a hearing, and then next thing you know, if you're lucky, your assailant will be put on disciplinary probation and maybe get a writing assignment as a punishment. So there definitely is a high level of tolerance for this sort of crime at Berkeley, and there has been for a very long time. And I mean, I definitely didn't expect it from Berkeley because I thought that it's a relatively progressive institution. I thought that that would play some sort of role in how they would handle this case. And I mean, I had no reason to distrust Berkeley before that. And Berkeley was also my dream school. I wanted to go to Berkeley more than anything. So once I came to Berkeley, and then first I was assaulted, and then to also be betrayed by my own university, I mean, really, that the second part was much worse because I was never anticipating that that would happen, especially that there, when there were four of us who actually reported the same guy who had assaulted all of us, and they didn't do anything.
We're talking with Sophie Karasek, who is now a junior at the University of California, Berkeley. And we should note that you're embroiled in a legal matter with the university right now. And we should note that Berkeley Chancellor Nicholas Dirks this year announced new hires to help investigate these kinds of crimes, new ways of helping victims navigate the reporting system. He said that victims will be allowed to appeal decisions in internal sexual misconduct cases. What do you make of that response by the university?
Sure. So I'm glad to see that they are taking additional steps. However, I think it's important to note that, well, the appeal right is actually something that we were supposed to have over a year ago. And we did draw attention to the fact that there was unequal treatment of survivors and assailants, that assailants could appeal decisions, but survivors couldn't. And they didn't do anything about this for a year. So first of all, I want to note that. And secondly, I think it's great that they're hiring more people, but up until this point, really what's been happening is when they hire these additional people, the people they're hiring don't have any interest in changing the culture that exists on campus. They don't have an interest in doing anything other than protecting the reputation of Berkeley.
Sophie, some folks listening, perhaps insensitive folks listening, might conclude that if your dream school let you down, why are you still there?
Well, I think that it really is a national problem. It's not if I were to go to another school that this problem wouldn't have happened to me. I mean, as you said at the beginning of your show, the statistic is 1 in 5 women will be assaulted while they're at college. So it's not if I had gone to another university, perhaps this wouldn't have happened to me. The tragedy is that certainly it is quite likely that if I were to go to another school that this would happen to me there too. So we have to address this on a federal level because it is so prevalent. And I am staying at Berkeley because, I mean, I still love the academics here and I have a lot of friends here and I wouldn't want to feel forced out by the university because of this. I would rather try to change it.
Sophie Karasek, class of 2015 at University of California, Berkeley. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Is there a federal role here? Vice President Biden seems to think so, and so do lawmakers who want to make the atmosphere on college campuses more transparent for parents and students. Joining us now, Congresswoman Jackie Speier from California's 14th District, not far from UC Berkeley. Welcome, Congresswoman.
Great to be with you, John.
So I'm a dad with 3 college-bound daughters and 2 college-bound sons. How do you protect people like Sophie Karasek with a federal initiative?
Well, to make it even more personal, I have a sophomore in college who's a young co-ed. So there are a number of things we can do. One is require annual climate surveys. We've done that in the military. It creates automatic accountability. The legislation that I'm going to be introduced, known as the HALT Act, will also require disclosure, public disclosure of all resolution agreements. Those are the agreements that the Department of Education makes with the university after there's been a complaint relative to Title IX, and most of these complaints are filed under Title IX. More money for investigators, Title IX investigators. The legislation is also going to provide for posting signage in public places of what the rights are for individuals who are raped, what their opportunities are for filing complaints, and where they can get help. Beyond that, we also need training. We need training of local law enforcement, training of the first responders, the healthcare providers, so that these victims have a shot at getting the kinds of resolutions they should have.
Congresswoman, I wonder if you'd share some of the background here in that, you know, obviously you're aware of what goes on and you're a mother of a college student. But it seems as though some of this initiative came out of the fight in Congress over getting the military to be more accountable about sexual assault and the military using the argument that, hey, we're doing as well as college campuses. Can you share that a little bit?
Actually, that's precisely true. I've been working on sexual assault and rape in the military now for 3 years, and oftentimes the brass from the Pentagon would come to me and say, well, hey, look, our numbers are better than college campuses, as if that was a basis on which to somehow herald the disaster that exists in the military as it relates to this issue. And as I looked at the issue, I realized they are parallels. You have closed systems in both cases. You have internal law enforcement. You have in the military a uniform code of military justice. On college campuses, you have a code of moral conduct. And as a result, the administrations in both institutions have swept these cases under the rug. And the parallels are really stunning and at the same time chilling.
But is there a national, it's not really a parallel in the sense that we tolerate binge drinking. We love to go to movies about, old school and see people being kind of crazy on college campuses. This goes way back to toga parties and that sort of thing. And if we were to look at the U.S. News and World Report college rankings and maybe see signs of a school being a party school, is it possible that that's actually capturing some of the tolerance you're talking about without really showing the statistics that parents and students maybe should know more about?
Well, in fact, I have authored a letter that's a bipartisan letter in the House that was signed by more than 13 members to U.S. News and World Report, asking them to include as one of the issues in their ranking the status of whether or not there's an appropriate level of oversight on college campuses. Do they handle sexual assault cases promptly? Interestingly enough, the top 4 ranked universities on the U.S. News and World Report, ranking, all four of them are either in the process of responding to Title IX complaints that have been filed or have just recently resolved Title IX complaints. And Title IX is the umbrella law that provides that in education, everyone should be free from discrimination.
And as we noted, the statistics also involve men and gays on campus. You know, Vice President Biden said right here at the top of the hour, we know the numbers. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Vice President Biden, but I didn't know those numbers. I don't think we know the numbers. Do you think we know the numbers?
No, I don't think we know them. When 20% of the college co-eds are going to have an experience with either attempted sexual assault or sexual assault at some point during their college career, that is a frightening number. And it's the first question whenever you go on a college tour, it's the first question that is asked by parents. And I heard it every school that we went to. What are you doing about sexual assaults on campus? And they would always say, well, we have blue phones, we have this. You know, the truth is, I don't think any of us knew how widespread it really is.
You know, we talked with Sophie Karasek at the top of the hour, and she had an experience at UC Berkeley. We don't want to make this about UC Berkeley because, as she said very responsibly, this is a national problem. Can you assure us this is indeed a national problem?
Oh, absolutely. It's a national problem. I met with Sophie. I met with Chancellor Dirks. And I want, and I said this to the chancellor, I want UC Berkeley to become the model for the rest of the country as to how you handle sexual assault on campus. And there has to be zero tolerance. One of the young co-eds I talked to at UC literally was not only after she filed the complaint and had a stay-away order, the assailant violated it. The second year, she was put in the same dorm with this assailant on the same dorm floor. So that shows a true lack of recognition of how pervasive and how serious the problem is and how most universities have basically not responded appropriately.
Representative Jackie Speier, Democratic Congresswoman representing California's 14th Congressional District. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.